Oh man, oh man, week three. We thank you. We finally had a good week of football to enjoy without a career ending, horrific to watch, make you want to throw up injury, which we love. There were obviously some injuries, but hey, they didn't make me want to vomit when I saw it. Of course, it's Tuesday night, which means there can only be one place for you, and you're choosing that to be the Full Tilt Dynasty Podcast. I, of course, am your host with the most time in his hands. I am Thomas Tipple, FF. Oh, my God. That was a throwback. Thomas Tipple, or at El Nostra Thomas. Jeez, I took it back to 2 years ago. Joining me, as always, is Jacob Sanderson. That's at Jacob Sanderson. And Lucas is back. That is Lucas Gilbert, at L Gilbert FF on the Twitter. It was your name, Lucas, that threw me for a loop. I come to you as the leader in points for the Player Picks Weekly, holding a strong 3-point lead. We will get into that. We have some big movers and shakers, as it looks to be, in the Full Tilt Stock Exchange. And of course, we look, Jacob absolutely crushed the underdog fantasy bet, and Lucas and I let all of you down. So we lost with you. So here we go. We are going to obviously talk about A-Chain. Look, the pun was all aboard the A-Chain, and we're keeping it that way. As Jacob said before the show, I don't think this is one he gets to choose. A-Chain is just cooler. And, of course, we're going to talk some Justin Fields, buy or sell, believe it or not, however you want to look at it. Some Garrett Wilson conversations. We have two trades we're going to talk about. I can't wait to get in it. We have, of course, Ferris always asking me for my fourth round Tua that Jacob hilariously roasted me for, I believe, 2 years ago in the fourth and go.
Well, it was really the fourth round. Was it? Didn't you take three? It was Tua. Was it Tua, Cousins, and Mac?
You took Mac. Sure, Mac. You took Mac.
I take Mac. You took Mac. Tua and Cousins.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I'm feeling. Yeah. Enjoy that. Enjoy holding that.
I think I traded him to you, by the way, like 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah, I think so. Herm, let's fucking go. A-Chain, yes, train. Doot. Small Zoomy boy does speedy and wiggly things. I don't even think he's that small anymore. I'm pretty sure he's up to 200 pounds. He did not look small, I tell you that much. And Michael Vencia, haircut. Phenomenal. Thanks for joining us. Okay, Jacob, the floor is yours. You touted him early. He was your boy. There are receipts all throughout the Full Tilt Fantasy Football YouTube channel, which if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. It goes a long way. We appreciate it. Leave a comment down below. It could be about Jacob's haircut. Doesn't matter how good A-Chan is. Anything. Just let it, you know, it helps us out. Jacob, the floor is yours. Let's hear it.
Oh, man. Devon, what a fun, incredible game. It felt like I was watching like a Tony Pollard breakout game all over again. He is the first player since at least 2020 to record over 100 rushing yards over expectation in a single contest. He had over six per carry. He was PFF's highest rated rusher in what was really his first NFL game. He had like two touches the previous week. Basically everything that you could possibly have dreamed for Devon A-Chain in his NFL career basically came through this week. It was phenomenal. I talked in the offseason about how, you know, you have this guy who has this incredible outside speed that, of course, is a weapon. And we see that on the reverse play. We see that used on some of those really well-blocked draw plays where he's just running through the hole, similar to a DeAndre Swift, where you're able to hit this wide-open hole, but you're just moving so much faster than everybody else that even if you're running through a straight-open hole, that's going to convert for a much larger gain than it does for other people. But again, what I want to stress with him is you don't see the size inhibit him. I watched all of his touches several times before writing it up this week. And he had 13 touches total, including ones that were called back on penalty, just anytime he touched the ball, that were between the tackles. He gets 4 yards or a first down or a touchdown on 11 of the 13. And really only one of those 13. Could you possibly say that if he was a little bit taller, if he was a baller, if he was bigger, that it might've made a difference? Otherwise, he's putting his head down. He's following his scheme. He's consistently moving it. When you watch him and you watch, say, Jahmyr Gibbs, and I don't like mean to just pick on Jahmyr Gibbs because he's also in his third NFL game, but you notice the difference between these two kind of smaller backs. We had Noah on the show. We talked about how much more of an advanced runner A-Chain was than Gibbs way back in the spring. You watch the difference about two of them on an outside run, right? They both have the speed, but Gibbs is basically like, you know, Tom plays Madden. You love Madden. you know, you just hit that turbo button and you just go, right? That's right. Kind of like what Gibbs is doing on the outside runs. It's turbo button.
It's that unbeatable single two tight end outside stretch play.
Exactly. He's just like playing Madden 21 or whatever game it was when that was just totally broken. A-Chain, it's a different level where he's moving laterally and his eyes are all that he's downfield. I almost would relate it to like a quarterback who's scrambling but is looking to throw versus looking to run. His eyes are downfield because he's constantly trying to set up his blocking to create a hole where he can then use that turbo speed up the field instead of laterally, so he's not running out of real estate. He's just a really, really cerebral runner, and his head moves as quickly as his feet. And I think he has an opportunity to, you know, two really, really special things in probably the offense that you want any player that you could possibly roster in Dynasty to be attached to. It's really, really cool to watch and excited to keep rooting him on over the course of the season.
Yeah, I think my favorite picture from this weekend was one that had maybe 12 Broncos players that were just laying on the ground behind him because he was just doing special things, and he still had three more to go along the way. Just absolutely putting people on the ground, whether that was from a surprising amount of power in his runs or just his pure elusiveness and outrunning them as they're going for his ankles. It was incredibly impressive, made me extremely sad, and it's another reason I'm not wearing my Broncos hat today. I'm just going to be sad for a little while after 70 points. I will say the most impressive thing and the biggest difference I see, other than, as Jacob alluded to, the way that their eyes are working on the field, is the surprising contact balance that Devin Achane has displayed over his one game and two plays NFL career so far. I mean, you saw it in college, but it's very encouraging to see that translating to the NFL level as well. And congratulations on your victory lap. Well done.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Lucas for also shouting out the Canadian Football League inadvertently with his 12 Bronco players supposedly on the field. They would have needed 12 on the field to stop the Dolphins. 11 missed tackles forced, and I think 5 of them was on the play that Lucas is describing. He absolutely torched them. What's impressive is in that week, fantasy points data recorded with which is already updated, by the way. All the data you could possibly need for advanced is already there. That's data.fantasypoints.com. You're going to want to get that. But 108 yards after contact. So running backs are just dreaming of getting 100 yards in the NFL at this point. He did that, but just after contact. And then there was, of course, the extra 100 yards after that, or before that anyway. It was insane. He had 5.2 yards before contact per attempt. So every time you touched him, he was still getting 5.28 yards. Of course, it's ballooned by some pretty big runs, but that's what we're looking for. What gets me is that he is successful, or was successful, in both zone concepts and man/gap concepts. He had 7 attempts at the zone. He had a 71.4% success rate with a 15 yards per carry. I don't love yards per carry, but when you add it all together with everything else, looks pretty good. 105 yards on the zone concept. That's pretty good. Well, he can't possibly. He's just a zone guy because he has speed, right? Nah. 10 attempts, 58 yards, 1 touchdown with a 60% success rate. Man, zone does not matter. Is it maybe because the Broncos are bad? Yes, but we can also say that Devon is good. I will say that I am starting Khalil Herbert, another successful running back, as they play the Broncos this week. We are going to chase. What trade value do I have for Achane and Dell paired up? We're going to get into some trades. That one specifically might be take us a little bit to dive into because I really need to get into Tank Dell. That dude looks legit, and I just traded away to Tom Lee, as I normally do. What is impressive is that Achane also had 2 receiving touchdowns. So him and we have to talk
both the backhand shovel.
Right, the no-look Kansas City Chiefs shuffle pass, unreal. But I will put one kind of pause on Achane right now. He's not running away with this job after that game, because Mostert also went bananas. Four touchdowns as well. I believe he also had 200 yards rushing. Like, this was just a historic effort where it really looked like the goal was to beat them into submission, which they did very early, but they just kept the foot down. So, Jacob, while you have victory lapped, we know that I think we can get rid of the other running backs in this backfield. I think we know who the guys are going to be after that. But how do you look at the backfield moving forward now, which will also segue us into his trade value and what you should do? Apparently, he jumped to in keep trade cut to RB12 in Dynasty, which is kind of crazy, but we knew this was going to happen. So
things are just not fun for a while. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think like, all that stuff, I think you can just kind of ignore.
Right.
Like the noise of it all is just, you're always going to see like really reactive things with that. And when all people have to do is like click a button, it's very different than actual trades that real people are making. And you're always going to see a really wide range of trade values whenever you see these young players with these massive weeks. So I think it's more important to just look at everything in context. Oftentimes you'll hear people be like, are they a buy? Are they a sell? And it's like really hard to put that number on it because I really have no idea what the buy or the sell price is in your specific league when we have a guy that probably everybody values a little bit differently after seeing that performance. When I do my updated rankings this week, I expect that he'll probably be, I think I'm going to put him probably towards the back end of the base one tier, maybe at the very top of the late one tier. But even that, I really don't think gives that much context. It's hard. I try to rank it based on what I think is their efficient price, not like what I think you should buy for, not what I think you should sell for, but essentially right, you know, in the middle of those two things, the equilibrium price, where if I saw this trade, I wouldn't love it or hate it for either side. And I put it in terms of a pick value, which is obviously not the only way to purchase players. But I think with players like this specifically, you know, I'm not going to say that an efficient price as a player with zero career games over 50% of the snaps is like higher than a base first. Like that's just kind of patently ridiculous. But I also don't think that that means that you have to sit on this player that you drafted and that you believe in and that you just watched have this incredible game and go immediately cash them out for picks. I don't think it's that simple. I think that we have a lot of players on our teams and a lot of picks on our teams. And sometimes you just get to say, you know, I think that this player might be special. And we have scarce numbers of players that we think are special. And I don't think you have to buy and sell every single player at their quote unquote efficient price. Sometimes you get to have a little bit of fun. And so to me, Achane is a player that I want on my team. Does that mean that the cost to acquire him is always going to be something I'm willing to pay? No. Does that mean that there won't be deals to go down that maybe is too high for me? Sure. But I'm not rushing to sell him everywhere, even if I think that people are paying too much, because I think that ultimately your fantasy championships are won by difference-making special players who are capable of these types of performances. And if you have one of them, I don't think that you have to always immediately jump to go and cash out for whatever value you can get. I think sometimes we just get to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, I think that's important. You don't have to trade a breakout player right away because he could still be good as we move forward. Right. But you also, again, if you get a deal that you just really like, you can definitely ship him off for sure. I think I'm holding. I don't think I'm buying or selling. I think I want to see how this plays out a little bit. But as you said, the noise of him going just top 12 it's reactionary, which is to be expected, but also kind of crazy. We have, speaking of, I didn't know there was Calvin Austin trades on the Full Tilt Fantasy Football YouTube channel. A listener, if Lucas, you could go and find the name of said listener for me, because it's not in here and I'd like to shout him out, asked us Achane and Calvin Austin or a 24 first and second.
That is a Mr. Jeff Winter, by the
Jeff,
way.
Jeff Winter. Shout out Jeff Winter. So we have Achane, and that's going to take a while. Achane and Calvin Austin or a 24 first and second. We're going to call those base ones. Jacob, you said you wouldn't be trading a 25 one for someone like Puka last week. This is kind of an interesting look at this as of today. So are you just, is it yes, no? Is that fair? Yeah. I know you said it's hard to do.
I think it's fair. Yeah, it's fair. You know, I think it depends on your conviction in the player. It's totally fair. Would not fault you in the slightest if you cashed out. Cashing out for a 24-1-2 is probably the quote-unquote right decision. But, you know, it's kind of like what I'm saying. I just don't think that you always have to make, like, the game theory optimal decision, right? I think that you are allowed to cash out on some of these players or to hold some of these players that you think are special. And if you have a high degree of conviction in this player, you have every right to and every reason to. So I don't know how to put that in a way that's actionable. It's kind of hard. I'm going to try and search for the words for my column later this week. But yeah, that was a long story short of saying it's fair. And sometimes you should not be ashamed for saying, I drafted this fucking player and I really like him. And you can't have him because I drafted him and he's mine. I think you're allowed to say that sometimes.
I think we've said that before. You don't have to trade players when they get good. You can hold on to good players. And this may sound kind of crazy for Dynasty Fantasy Football shows, but you're allowed to score points. You're allowed to be successful. You don't have to just get rid of every point that shows up on your team. Your process was, I like this player. I drafted this player. Feel free to use that player. Chase, I hope we somewhat helped with that. That your question's a tough question. What do you have for Dell? I mean, that first and a second probably sounds right. Maybe it's 2-1s at this point. At this point, it might be a little early to tell. My suggestion, hold. Hold. And Herm says, louder for the people in the back. You can hold good players. There you go, Herms. Had to get that one in for you there. Buddy, we're going to take a quick second. When we come back, I have some questions about Justin Fields, and I need people who are smarter than me. I need their help diagnosing this because it is truly mind-boggling. 3-second break. We'll be right back after this. Okay, Justin Fields was going at the 110. The one?
It was.
In this offseason. And Jacob, you were one of the first people I heard say, I don't really want to buy him at that price. I'd rather trade down. You were one of the people that said after 1-9, you would be very much interested in trading down in 12-team leagues. Where I saw today that you just traded a 24.
Traded for him.
And
we're back in.
24-1 and 1 fab. For Justin Fields straight up.
No. Not 24-1 and 1 fab. A 24-1 for Justin Fields and 1 fab.
Oh, you got the fab. Right. That big difference on that. I'm sorry.
Funny story.
I want to point out, I turned that trade down from said manager.
Well, you weren't getting the fab.
3 times. You're right. Maybe if he sent me Ferris, 1 fab would have done it, I think. Might have pushed me over the top. But talk me through this because we obviously think differently. I turned it down. You accepted immediately thereafter almost. So talk us through it.
Part of this is like, you know, again, I used this line on the Dynasty podcast that I already recorded, but if you're listening to this, it is not yet dropped in your feeds. So anyway,
Thursday.
I said that I'm somewhat prone to what I call player take imposter syndrome, which is just like anytime a take that I have on a player appears to be correct, my baseline assumption is that the market is too confident in the take that I used to have, and so I then like immediately I just like kind of want to bet against it. With Fields, it's pretty much, I mean, I think I've been mostly like certainly not consistent in the sense that my rank of him has been the same throughout. Like obviously it's gone up and down as everybody has on Fields for the last couple of years. But I do think, like, if we really, really zoom out, I've tried to be consistent-ish with Fields, which is, like, I don't think this is a guy who has a lot of insulation. I don't think this is the guy who's shown that he's a good quarterback yet. I do think that he potentially can be a really good quarterback. And if he is, he's going to be an absolutely monster fantasy asset. I think the main thing is just, like, that one piece of if he is a good quarterback, you know, that's kind of been sliding downward gradually and then maybe a little bit up towards the end of last year and now back down, right? So to me, the bet hasn't changed that much when you really zoom out. I think at this point, the odds that we have Justin Fields' first-round startup pick perennially Lamar Jackson 2.0, that's probably no longer the case. If you want that, the superior bet on that probably right now is Anthony Richardson.
He looks good.
However, refocus and say, like, what if Justin Fields is just even more mobile Daniel Jones, who's like a not all that great quarterback, but he's going to stick around in the league for a while because the position is pretty weak. And while he's a starter, he's going to keep putting up reasonable fantasy production. You know, that I could see. That seems very possible. And so, yeah, I've taken the gamble that my team there is pretty darn good. We're 2-1, but I think that we're 2-1 basically without Austin Eckler and with Breece Hall not scoring any points. So I think we're probably going to continue to progress in that spot. And we're in a spot there where I have Justin Herbert as one of my quarterbacks, I think, or maybe it's Watson. I get those two leagues with like almost the exact same group of people, and I frankly get them confused all the time. but I have one of those two. I think it's Watson in that league. And then, but after that, it's like Carr and, I don't know, maybe some other bums, Josh Dobbs or whatever else. I do have Winston. So it's like, all right, I'm really lacking some like stability here at the quarterback position. Let's just take a shot on it. I don't think I'm going to be able to draft a quarterback with that late first, probably a receiver running back. So let's do it. Funny story on the one fab is that Ferris is doing what he usually does with offers. He's like, he'll send you one very specific offer, and then like any counters to that just get like summarily rejected, which I just find tilting. So I sent him a bunch of different counters to his offer that I knew he would reject because of the way he trades. But I was like, you're going to plus reject 16 times because you're annoying me. And then he countered back with the same initial offer, to which I said, and then I countered back with him adding a third. And then he countered back with his initial. And I said, I would have accepted this, except that you've irritated me and I'm no longer going to be generating dopamine out of this trade. So I'm just going to walk on principle. And then he was like, please don't, that's rude. And then I was like, fine, but you have to add one fab so that I feel like I got something out of this negotiation.
Oh, that is fantastic. I think there was a time, Ferris, who's also with us right now, I think there was a time, I want to talk about also, Jacob, you traded me Mac Jones in a second for that bum Derek Carr. How I ended up with him. So there you go.
Live with our team afloat. He was getting zappied at that point. He was riding the pine with the high ankle sprain.
Right. Live with that regret twice. There was a time where I might have traded Justin Fields or Tua for Fields, I think even last year. But we held on, and it was one of those situations where we talk about wanting the mobile QB like every single time. I think Tua is past that now. I think we've seen that this is just what the offense is. And people will be like, well, it's the coaching. Sure. Well, it's Tyreek, obviously. But I think right now it's everything with this offense makes you want to buy into Tua. I don't see it with Fields. I see Fields regressing. I think he looks like he was in college, just in the NFL. He's missing the simplicities of playing quarterback. There's that, like, if you haven't watched JT O'Sullivan's QB school breakdowns, they are the most ruthless bit of commentary. And for people that think that there's underlying reasons, for the people think the Bears might have ruined him, there are some things that he's just not doing to make himself better at the position. And I think some of that is the basics, timing, reads, everything that you need to just be the basics of a starting quarterback, let alone an elite starting quarterback. He doesn't have. So I'm inclined to agree with you, Jay, or not that he doesn't have, he hasn't shown it, and he's going backwards. After DJ Moore was supposed to be his Stephon Diggs, I think a lot of us might remember that take floating around the interwebs. Looking at you, John, with your top five DJ Moore proclamation. But it's not there for me, and you're right. I don't think he is insulated. At least Daniel Jones got the contract, but I think you've hit this on the head more than I can. I think he might be just a more explosive Daniel Jones, but even Daniel Jones has more insulation. Like, there is a real world. Well,
there's no insulation on field. But I mean,
right. But what I'm saying is, I think
4-1 is like what, round 6, round 7 of a startup. I mean, people were taking Trey Lance in round 3, round 4 of a startup in like spring.
Yeah.
Where, like, I don't know. Like, to me, with a late 24-1, it's like, I'm really not that, frankly, I'm really not that concerned if Justin Fields hits. Like, I'm just treating that as like a late first, roll the dice, whatever. Like, I drafted a lot of Sky Moore last year. That sucks. My team's like, drafting Sky Moore with the 108 is not like the, is not really like the reason why a team of mine is like good or dead. Like, that's not like a franchise killing error. Drafting Fields in the first round of a startup, like, kind of is, right? Like, I have teams that drafted Trey Lance at the 1-2 turn, and or Kyle Pitts, the 1-2 turn, like that decision is like strongly like debilitated those teams from being able to like compete for championships, especially Lance, just with the value loss. Like, certainly with Fields, like, that's the case. But Ferris, I could not disagree more about on tanking teams, Fields need to be off your team yesterday. Like, I think that, yeah, I'll totally disagree. I'm buying him on my tanking teams. Is it possible that the bet goes to zero? Sure. But I think on a tanking team, like, you're already just kind of collecting a bunch of assets. I'm perfectly happy to burn one of those on Fields. And you're basically just finding out about one of your bets early, right? All you're going to be doing on a tanking team is like firing a bunch of draft picks at high variance profiles. So we're just going to find out a little earlier on one of them is my view of it. And best case scenario, you have a potential top 10 quarterback this year, maybe next year. I mean, I don't know. Like, what are the odds that he plays somewhere next year? Like, it doesn't have to just be Chicago, but like, what are the odds he starts somewhere next year? Like, I don't think it's like that slim. I think it's still 40, 50%.
I mean, first round picks flop at what, a 50% rate? So, I mean, I think you're right. I think it's worth taking the shot. For most people, I'm willing to not. If I have him, that doesn't mean if I'm on a rebuilding team, I want to get rid of him. He says, not if I'm scoring points, you, Caleb. Sure. The
tank spot where Caleb, you like can't sell Fields and get a return you like right now. Like, it's not happening. You're either selling Fields for like 30 cents on what you held him for in the summer, or you're holding him. Like, you're going to hate your life if you sell him.
Right. And I believe the tank for Caleb is in full effect for a lot of teams, to the point where a lot of teams I'm seeing out there are hurting themselves long term just trying to nab him, which I think is wild.
Oh, I mean, it's a massive thing. I think that's going to be like next week. I'm probably only going to do one running back column, and the rest of it's all just going to be about like tearing down and the Caleb-ness of it all.
Yeah, that might be our show for next
week. I'm in some arms races, man. I'm in one league where I have scored max points 481 through 3 weeks, and I am not in first place in the Caleb poll because someone else has 69.
Yeah, I think it's I think we just figured out what our episode for next week is. But Lucas, I'm going to pitch this to you because Jacob and I have talked a lot about Fields. I am out for the reasons that we mentioned, but I will say I'm not out like widespread. There's always opportunity. We obviously play in a lot of leagues. I think there's times where it will make sense, but I'm talking for just generally. I think his path to like that elite upside we saw last year, and in each one of those games last year where he went absolutely berserk, it was 1, 2, maybe 3 plays per game that was putting him in that insane range. So it's not like it was a consistent production in those games. So I'm hesitant. I'm going to say no. I don't really want to roster him too much in Dynasty right now because there's a real chance he's just not a starting quarterback in a year. Like a very realistic chance. So
yeah. I think it's more likely than not he doesn't start next year. And I feel totally fine trading the late first for that.
If you're just completely convinced that there's absolutely no chance that he won't be this, and I hope you're the same person that asked me why I think Lance will get another shot, because it's like,
yeah, I'm not that. I think he's a low percentage bet, like a really low percentage bet. He's just a really high impact bet.
Right.
So like, but by all means, like I'm saying trade for him if you want as like a speculative bet. I mean, it's not like a part of the core. Like you're mentioning Tua. It's not even close right now. between right. two and
that's what I mean. It's just why I mentioned that is just because there was a time, even this time last year, where that would have been, you would have been scrutinized to a level that would have been not recoverable if you had thin skin.
Lucas, I mean, this is right. Oh. People say, we always say on the show, oh my God, I can cut off Lucas. I'm the worst. I'm going to shut up for like 20 minutes after this. We always, you know, we're always like talking about trading at the market, and it's like, it kind of gives and it takes. Like, first of all, it's, you know, why is it going to trade at the market? Because you already know you're going to make these egregious like errors eventually in evaluation. Like, you may as well not add insult to injury by just giving away market value on top. It's a risk minimization issue. But yeah, when you get down to it, like, if you have a player conviction, you don't have to just always do the market trades, because I mean, look, I was in a negotiation with Ferris today, and in that same team, Justin Fields was less costly for me to acquire than Puka fucking Nacua.
Right.
So like,
yeah,
life comes at you fast. Things fucking change.
It does.
One of these dudes was the 110 of startup. The other guy was routinely going undrafted in 4-round rookie drafts.
And not to say that Justin Fields can't blow up and just make it, everyone like me look absolutely stupid. It's 3 weeks in. Like, I feel like I should have led with that, because people are going to get like, not get that far and be like, fuck this guy. Look at his context. So when we clip this, I want to make sure that part goes in. But it's been 3 weeks and he can make us look dumb. I'm just saying, as of right now, it looks fucking bleak. All right, Lucas, Jacob's not going to cut you off now.
Hey, guys. So if you're just looking at just a general comparison between 2022 and 2023, the Bears are putting the ball in Justin Fields' hands even more this season. You look at his passing numbers, they're giving him more passes, and he's maintaining, at least for the most part, his rushing numbers. Like, his highest amount of passes last season in any game was 28. He beat that week one with 37. Then he beat it again in week two with 29. And then even last week with it was so ugly to watch. Like, holy cow. He still had 22. So they are putting the ball in his hands, putting this offense in his hands, and he's just not producing at anything close to an efficient level. His rushing, he's still getting about the same number of rushing attempts, but he's down 2.5 yards a carry. That really sucks whenever you know that his whole fantasy value is tied up in that. You right. want him to have open rushing lanes. It just seems like he's trying to do so much through the air, trying to prove that he's a passer, trying to make a perfect play every single time, and he's not playing loose. He's not just taking what's there and having fun playing football. That's another reason why everybody loved him, was it just looks like he's having fun. He plays a really fun brand. And now we're having to watch this super tight, overthinking everything sort of brand of football that's not appealing at all.
Right.
It makes me really, really sad. I didn't realize he was going for a 24 first at this point, just like a base 24 first. That seems unheard of for a quarterback who has this much rushing upside.
Right.
But it's kind of hard to even make that call that you want to do that. Like, that seems wrong saying, but I don't know if I would do that on most of my teams. I mean, sure, there's probably some teams out there that I feel like I'm the quarterback away, even though he might not start, and spending a first round pick to try to get him in there for potential top 12 quarterback plays, even whenever he's not having a good passing week. Like, you want that, but he needs to start rushing again. He needs to be just slightly more efficient than what he has been. And hopefully things will get back on track.
Here's hopefully. A stat for you that might make you feel queasy. His upside is the rushing, right?
Yep.
We've all said that. His fantasy points per drop back is 0.40. That is higher than Trevor Lawrence, which is surprising. Higher than Mac Jones, CJ Stroud, Dak, right? Here's the problem. His fantasy points per opportunity, which is total fantasy points divided by dropbacks plus designed runs, is 0.36. He has been less valuable when they've given him design runs.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's bad. That is a statistic that I didn't think that I would be out here touting for someone like Justin Fields. So there are some red flags here. I hope he gets better. I hope the season gets better. I hope that that team gets better for all of our eyes' sakes. And there's an opportunity to capitalize if you really believe in it. But I simply can't. I can't.
I just tweeted, people say Justin Fields won't start somewhere next year. But if you don't think Arthur Smith would take advantage of a new way to ruin Kyle Pitts, you simply don't know ball.
That is a banger tweet, and I hope it goes viral. Scott Barrett would be proud of that tweet mid-show. He really would. We have one more here, but I feel like we kind of went over this one a little bit last week. I got a little bit roasted for it when I talked about Garrett Wilson. Was it last week or week one, where I talked about Garrett Wilson's value being tied in to what Aaron Rodgers did. So, Lucas, you have here, is Garrett Wilson still a top five wide receiver in Dynasty? Obviously, he crept his way up there into the early to mid second in startups. Ferris, he just says one last thing. He looks lost this year. No other way to see it right now. He's literally freezing in place and being afraid to make decisions. Correct. Maybe that's overcoaching. Maybe that's any of the reasons we said, but running directly straight into the middle linebacker.
Being on the Bears.
Yeah, not ideal. But let's talk Garrett Wilson now. Garrett Wilson, is he still a top five wide receiver in Dynasty? I think that if you believed he was heading into the year, you have to still believe he is.
I don't think you have to do that. But no.
Then it was completely baked into Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, and that's fine. I don't think that there's anything wrong with being like, I like this guy way more when a really good quarterback is throwing to him than when the worst quarterback in the NFL is throwing to him. I think that's like actually perfectly rational.
I just think that top five is like a different tier. Like it's a different, he should be QB proof. Like he should be.
But under five is just a round number. Like there's two guys that are head and shoulders above everyone else in Chase and Jefferson.
Well, three. I'm sorry, but Tyreek he's just there. He's just
dynasty.
He's just that good. I don't know. I'm just saying head and shoulders above everyone else. He's that good.
Right. But I'm talking about in dynasty value. If we're doing like a top five dynasty rankings, like is Tyreek in it?
Oh man, I have a hard time keeping him out of there.
Right. Okay. But he's not like, we're not saying he's equal trade value to Jefferson and Chase, right? Like I trade you Tyreek. Like I'm not getting Jefferson for Tyreek in a
correct. Okay.
Okay. But okay. Your Tyreek thing even goes further to my point then. So Chase and Jefferson, clearly, like, that's a tier of two guys in Dynasty, value-wise, that are above the rest. And after that, it's honestly, like, take your pick. Like, I have no problem being, like, of coming into the season, being, like, of all of the rest of these guys, of Tyreek and Waddle and Amon-Ra and A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb and Olave, whatever, be like, Garrett Wilson is my favorite. Like, that seems, like, totally fine. And now he's probably not your favorite anymore. Like, I had him in the same tier as, like, I think probably eight or nine other receivers, but he was my top rank among them coming into the season. And a lot of that was quarterback play. You know, it's a tiebreaker, really. I still have him ranked in the same tier and, you know, the same tier as all the rest of these guys, but he's moved down there where now I do, you know, at this point, I'll take Olave and Lamb and A.J. Brown and Amon-Ra ahead of him because they're comparable enough. And I'm, you know, I don't have to fucking bench him for like Tank Dell.
Right. Okay, well I have a question here for you then. Let's talk about it. Ricky, I see your pick three, please. I see your question. We'll get to that right away. Let me ask you this then. Would you trade Christian McCaffrey straight up for Garrett Wilson?
It would definitely depend on the team there.
Like, let's just say just split, like just even down the middle, team needs a wide receiver, team needs a running back.
Well, if team needs a wide receiver, Garrett's like the least possible efficient like way to get wide receiver points in Carolina.
I'm just trying to set it up here. All right. Let me just walk into it.
All right. Well, the trade thing is literally impossible to answer based on how you're saying it. So I will just choose to answer the question differently, which is that I would take Garrett Wilson first at a startup.
Okay. All right. That's fair. All right. See, I wouldn't. I turned this trade down. It was Garrett Wilson, a first and a third for McCaffrey and Calvin Ridley. And I hit that reject button.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I without knowing what your team is, like, I may or may not have accepted that. Like, I think it's a totally fair and efficient trade, in my opinion. Mm. And, like, I don't know, if I have, like, the second best team in the league and I have Christian McCaffrey on it, like, depending on everything else, like, I might just look at it and be like, no, this is probably my best chance to win this year. And I will forego that chance if I, you know, shed like 10 points per game. So I'm not going to do that. Right. Like, that's totally fine.
Okay. Okay. Hey, that's fair. You got me. I can't buy him as a top five right now. I didn't at the time. I was very much so more Team Olave than Garrett Wilson throughout the offseason. So we'll see. I think we're splitting hairs here, but.
I mean, my thing with Garrett Wilson is so much of why we love him is because he is so electric with the ball in his hands. And all those numbers are still there, but the value of the targets he's getting is just pitiful. And it makes me so sad to see that it is Mr. Zach Wilson throwing him the ball all the time. His first read target percentage is second in the NFL, though. Like, he's still getting open.
You know what?
He is still one of the absolute best whenever it comes to yards after contact. Like, he is an elite talent at the wide receiver level, but is the quarterback play so much that, like, I can understand putting him behind AJ Brown, CD Lamb. Olave is about where I am. Like, right now, I'd probably have Olave over Garrett Wilson if I had to choose one of the two. But then you get to someone like Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you're looking there like,
I have Amon-Ra.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to score points this year. Garrett Wilson is going to be an indistinguishable start from several wide receivers who are worth late second round picks for the rest of the season. It's not his fault. It's Zach Wilson's fault, but it's just what it is, and it sucks. But that's just, like, it matters to me. If you're tanking, I mean, there's no better, like, buy.
I'm gonna pull the old Tommy T signature flip flop switcheroony on Garrett Wilson. I'll say this: if the Jets were actually smart and they signed Josh Johnson, oh yeah, it would be wheels up for Garrett Wilson. Maybe
signed literally any other quarterback. So Trevor Siemian just joined the team pending a physical.
Hey, God. Josh Johnson was him when he came off the couch and threw for 330 yards. All right, let's. I think you're right. I think I looked at that a little too harshly. I think I'm going to have to go back and have a look. Ricky, Lockett, Terry McLaurin, Myers, Ayuk, Hollywood, Brown. Pick three, Ayuk, Myers, and Lockett. There you go. Pick my three.
Is it pick three, like, in what?
You just said pick three. I'm assuming it's play three.
Okay, so, like, play three this week? Yeah, I would go Lockett and Ayuk and... I don't have the matchup memorized. I'm sorry, but Hollywood, I guess that might be wrong.
Yeah, I think it would be Ayuk, Hollywood, and then probably Myers.
Okay, so we've got you two locks for sure, and the third one's going to be up to you based on how we do it. I see everyone's question. When is the signal to give up and tank, Bindles? We're going to cover that next week. We are going to cover that. We're going to do a whole show dedicated to tearing down in season startup. Full Tilt always does one. Be on the lookout for that. Tyler, how do you beg industry analyst cucks to accept trades and let them blow it all up instead of hoard everything because they're boring? I would say send better trades. Signal, your team is waiting on Jelani Woods. Oh, that's so funny. We've got some in-league folks up in here having a chat.
Jelani Woods is a good buy, right?
Jelani Woods is? No.
I think you want every...
Tyler Granson, baby. Granson's been dope. Did you not see him do the photo shoot with his first touchdown ball? It was so good. I'm all the way back in on the Kylan Granson hype train, which, if you know me, I've been there for a while. Okay, that's players. As always, we go a little bit long with that, so we're going to jump into the next bit. We'll do it a little quicker than normal. We have the Full Tilt Dynasty Stock Exchange. Every week we pick a player, or you can choose not to pick a player. You get to hold, I believe you said five at any one time, players that we think are going to gain value at the end of the season, and then we total up the points. I got that right?
Yeah,
you got that right. At the end of the year, and dictate a winner. I, of course, in week one, went for the low-hanging Fruit and Sam Howell. I then took Olave, and I have Jerome Ford as well. We have Lucas, who has Evan Hull. That has not looked good. He took the low-hanging fruit in Puka Nacua. So there's that. And he took Tajay Spears. Yep. Jacob so far has Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice, and not looking great, Rashad Bateman, who looks
We're holding Bateman forever. I'm just going to extend this game for like 3 years until Bateman pulls the Robert Woods, Christian Kirk, Team 2 revival. That's what I moved on to with Rashad Bateman. last week I got mad at everyone. I was like, you guys are just taking the players that are obviously going to go up because the ADP is lagging and blah, blah, blah. And this week I decided, you know what? Fuck you guys, because now my player gets to be the benefit of that. So I get to do that. Unfortunately, my tool's being a little sticky right now on the actual ADP. So we'll have to, someone will have to remind me or look up their ADP like tomorrow or something, because it's not loading at the moment. Right. But I am taking, of course, the younger Tony Pollard, College Station Tony Pollard. I've been calling him College Station Tony Pollard for a while because I don't know if you guys realize, but he no longer plays at College Station, Texas. So right. that name's been going for a while. But yeah, we're taking Devon Achan.
Such a terrible name. Right. He's already gone up. Now, let me ask, because he's already jumped to RB12 on trade cut.
Luckily,
you're not getting those points. It's from, oh yeah. Man, come on. I wanted to rain on your parade, but you wouldn't let me. Lucas, who are you taking this week for the Full Tilt Stock Exchange?
So still someone who's looking a little bit better, and you know, he might not be really involved because the Broncos are making me very sad.
Really stupid.
Yeah, but he is making the most of his opportunities, and that is Mr. Marvin Mims. 99-yard kick return for a touchdown. Like that just shows how fast and explosive he is. Mm-hmm. He's still having really big plays. I think, I don't remember what his yards per route run is, but I think it was like over 8 at one point in time. Like, it's just something ridiculous. Because
Scott had an absolutely incredible tweet about him too, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, shout out Scott Barrett. He's loved Marvin Mims. He was early on Marvin Mims. That's Scott Barrett, friend of the show. Been on here multiple times yelling about wide receivers. We love that. Marvin Mims, he's just looked good, but the Broncos continue to hate.
Is he a Tank Dell guy or no? Who is the
Tank Dell was the guru, John Hansen. From Fantasy nice. Points was nice.
There you go.
Speaking of Scott Barrett, this has nothing to do with anything we just talked about because we sidetrack here on the show, which is why we're never on time. But can you tell me who is sixth in the league at running back? RB leaders by missed tackles forced per touch with a minimum of 35 touches. Who's number six?
Is this Zach Moss?
I was going to discuss that.
It is Zach Moss, correct?
Wow,
Raheem Mostert is number one. At 0.47, Bijan number two at 0.43, Kenneth Walker 0.40. God, he looks good. He's making me eat crow already this year. Jahmyr Gibbs 0.39, David Montgomery 0.37, and Zach Moss 0.35. Eat your heart out, Jonathan Taylor. Okay, that's the stock exchange. I'm not adding a player this week. I'm sitting this one out. I'm gonna let my look. Jerome Ford popped off for me, right? He's gonna go up 2 touchdowns. We love that. Kareem Hunt means nothing to me. He means nothing. To me, okay, look, every week this podcast, you can see it at the bottom, the Underdog Fantasy is there. If you're not signed up, you need to go online and join the online sensation that is Underdog Fantasy. You can go to underdogfantasy.com, use promo code FULLTILT, FULLTILT, and they will deposit match you up to $100. If you're into Best Ball Mania, that's 4 free entries. You're going to want to get in on that. Because Best Ball Mania next year, it's going to be even bigger and better. And when one of us wins, you'll be more inclined to play along with us because it's going to happen one way or the other. We like to do a pick'em. We all play it. I enter it right here. Last week, Jacob nailed his, and I know we haven't done our players of the week, Lucas, okay? This isn't my first rodeo, all right? You just sit right there in the co-chair.
Trust the right? process, Gilbert.
Let me cook.
Let him cook.
Let Tom cook. You can leave a comment. Let Tom cook. Leave a comment on the YouTube video so Lucas remembers forever. What we do is we each pick one prop that we like, whether it's the over or the under. We tell you who. We enter it through Full Tilt. I'm going to put $25, real life dollars, so you know we are betting this. We tweet it out. That way you all know. So here we go. Jacob, you were the only one to get it right last week. So please, what is it this week?
Yes, this week we're sticking with the red hot CJ Stroud. His over-under is 237.5 passing yards. I think that they're going to blow past that, frankly. The Texans have been willing to let it rip. Their offensive line cannot run block for shit right now. Mm-hmm. And they've been an aggressive throwing team. They get the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, and the Steelers are another one of those teams, kind of like the Titans, kind of like the Colts, where their strength of their defense is in that front seven. They're not an easy team to run on, but you can expose them in the secondary. So I think we've seen the Texans be willing to play that pass-first style, especially when the matchup dictates. I think that they might have some trouble in this game managing the Steelers' pass rush, and we might see Stroud eat some sacks, kind of like we did in the Colts game. But even if it's messy, I think he hits that over.
Well, Tank Dell and Nico Collins have been lights out. Even Robert Woods has been very good. I like that. They're going to have to pass. It was pointed out to me that they're not even giving Damian Pierce the ball in negative game script like they were last year. And that's very easy to figure out why. It's not Davis Mills. They have a reason to pass the ball. And they do look like they have a young stud back there. So I am happy for them in that regard. For me, it's going to be very simple. We are attacking the Denver Broncos run defense. Oh, sorry. Never mind. I switched that up. I'm sorry. I'm looking ahead. I'm sorry. Let me cook. I'm taking the Calvin Ridley over 66.5 yards of playing the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are dog water. Ridley has been bad. Would have had a good game had he not dropped a long touchdown. So I am going to go Calvin Ridley over 66.5 yards receiving. Blew up week one. Took a back seat to Christian Kirk against a man defense and should have had a big game this last week. But I believe that not only the Falcons kind of bad, but I think there's a bounce back week for Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley's playing the Falcons. So it's a revenge game and we love narratives down narrative street. So there we go. Lucas Cook.
Speaking of cooking, James Cook over 60.5 rushing yards. So the Dolphins, they are a bottom third rush defense at this point, both in terms of yards allowed per carry and just total yards allowed per game. James Cook has looked really good these past 2 weeks. And I mean, even up against a really good Bills defense, he still was in the 50s. So 60.5, I think, is a good number, but it's definitely doable, especially if the Bills can keep this game from getting out of hand with this extremely high powered and fast Dolphins offense. So looking at James Cook to go over 60.5 rushing yards and continue what's been a really good season.
Okay, I'm gonna enter that bad boy. We're gonna post that, play along with us. And look, Bindle says he needs some Sam Laporta.
Yeah, we gotta get some Sam Laporta takes.
I do have a receipt. When we did the show with Karain, I took three straight tight ends.
Yeah.
And that first tight end was Mr. Sam Laporta. I thought he was going to be the most explosive. I thought he was going to be what people wanted Kincaid to be. And so far, so good. I think this pace is insane, and I don't think it holds up. But boy, has he looked. He looked great. He is my current tight end 5.
So do you all want to hear something really bad that might get me kicked off the show?
No, boy. Let's hear it. I always love these.
I dropped Devin Achane for Sam Laporta this week in my redraft league.
It's a redraft league. This isn't a redraft show. I
understand. It was still extremely painful watching that,
it's a lose-lose. I mean, obviously, ideally, you drop just literally someone else, but reasonable decisions at the time.
Yeah, like... He's just I kept Dalton Kincaid on my roster.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing that really sucks.
That's the problem right there. Yeah. You tried to big galaxy braid it and it backfired.
I really did. Good.
Kincaid's my dynasty tight end six. So there you go. But Laporta's number five, soon to be number four, I imagine.
I mean, I've seen take that he's number one, and I don't think it's that nuts.
I think I still prefer Andrews.
Okay, so I'm definitely convinced that he's in my top. I'm definitely convinced he's in my top four, easily. I have the easiest arm to twist into three ever because I just like dislike the way that TJ Hockenson plays football, which is like Zach Ertz 2018 cosplay. But like he scores points, so like I totally get like why he's valued the way he is. I just like personally dislike him. So we're at least at three, and like it's hard because like I still think like the overall profile, the air yards, the athleticism, the everything on Pitts, like I still think his true ceiling is higher, but like you just don't really have to worry about the like current situation with Laporta. So I'm definitely open to an argument for him there. And then Andrews is older, so I think I would put him in the same tier with Andrews and Pitts and Hockenson right now. Well, I probably don't even have Hockenson in that tier, but I'm just trying to not start war with people who love Hockenson. And I don't know. You can make an argument. I've seen like JJ Zacharyson said today that Laporta is dynasty tight end one, and I don't think that it's that crazy.
Okay, I'm not willing to go there yet, but he's getting there. I could probably be talked into number three. It's still Pitts for me. I think at this point it's Hockenson two, Andrews three. I think I could do Laporta four. Kelsey's at five because Kelsey's still him until he retires. I'll never take him out of my top five. And then you have Kincaid at six. I think that's how I have to play it. Sam Laporta, tight end four.
I'm not sure I can get him behind the Kincaid at six. Ah, it's fine. Whatever. I don't know. At that point, like Kittle and Goddard, what do they really do, I guess?
Oh, Goddard is third wheel on that offense by a wide margin. And he's still been...
This is the thing with tight end. It's like
he doesn't give
a good, what a good tight end is like they get 8 points most of the time, and then sometimes they get 20. Like that's what a great tight end is.
Yeah, I don't think he gives you an edge. And at 28 years old, I think we've seen, but like he's never really. He had tight end 10 in 2019, and then like.
He was a top five guy last year on a per game basis.
This is why Zach Ertz gives you about what Dallas Goedert's giving you right now. And to me, that just you're not a difference maker. So I won't put him that high. I think Kincaid has the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing with tight ends though, is like it's never a week to week edge. It's like the edge is it's like that they're not gonna often like completely goose you, or at least as frequently as the other tight ends do. And then they have that ceiling. It's just that ceiling is not going to pop up very frequently. And so most of the time that you invest an early pick in a tight end, it's like, fuck, 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 fuck. Oh, yay. Unless it's Kelsey. but like, you know, in Dynasty, obviously, then there's the fact that Kelsey's 34. That is like pretty relevant.
We have forgotten that Swelsey has the riz of a champion. And we are a pro Taylor Swift program.
Yes, we are.
I have put out trade offers for Travis Kelce based on this Taylor Swift news. Ferris says, this is going to get you banned. We're going to get a mod to ban you for this one. But the year is 2025. Arthur Smith is still the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And the fantasy community is still waiting for Kyle Pitts to convert expected fantasy points to fantasy points. I almost feel like I needed to put the demon voice on to read that because it made me sick to read. But you're probably right. Let's do player picks. Last week, I said I was confident that I would maintain my lead. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am still the king. I'm going to win this game for the first time since it was invented. It's going to happen, and I'm calling my shot. It's this year. If you're new to us here and just tuning in, we Each host will pick players. We take a quarterback and an RB outside of the top 15, a wide receiver outside of the top 20, and a tight end outside of the top 10, because tight ends suck, from the Fantasy Pros weekly PPR rankings. We take those players, we total up their points for the week, and at the end of the year, we see who the winner. Winner picks the drink of choice, drinks of choice for the other two hosts on the live draft show. Jacob, you are struggling right now. You took some the Derek Carr pick last week. Derek
Carr injury hurt. Yeah,
that definitely hurt.
I sold my soul to pick Zach Ertz, and all he gave me was two catches.
Right, it was not good.
I gave him my principles, and I was given nothing in return.
You're sitting at 101.9 points. You're in the lead for the Caleb Williams selection in this game.
So that's a rule. If I get last, I get Caleb Williams as my quarterback every week.
Every week? I mean, maybe. That might, you might have to change it. But okay, 101.9. Who do you have for us this week?
All right. Wait, can you guys
you're not
go
ready?
First?
You're not ready? Okay.
I realized I had started doing them at the beginning of the show, and then I got distracted, and so I only have one name typed. So I need to get my
very, very ADHD. We appreciate that here. Lucas, you can go first, seeing as how you're in second place.
I am in second right
133.44. You had a good week, just not good enough.
You know, it would be awesome if my tight end would give me more than 3 points in any week. So I'm 0-3 so far trying to do that. So we're going to try to change that this week. But starting off, my quarterback this week, Mr. Jordan Love, a reappearance in my lineups. He was fine whenever he went to Atlanta, 20 fantasy points. Love to see another 20 this week. And going up Thursday night against the Lions, I think that's very doable. And until the rankings reflect his state or his place now in at least redraft fantasy football, he's going to keep showing up in my lineups. Then, as Tom alluded to earlier, after what happened to the Denver Broncos rush defense in particular, I took the better of the two Chicago running backs in Mr. Roschon Johnson.
That's statistically not true, but
he has looked really good so far. I'm very encouraged by his usage, and hopefully they can get some things right against this Denver defense that's making me really sad, especially because people talked about being a top five defense and Sean Payton was supposed to come in and fix everything and Nathaniel Hackett's gone. And I'm ranting a little bit, but that's okay.
We don't have time on the show to collect your tears about those draft picks you guys gave up.
I have a jar in here too for that too, but that's fine. Then Mr. Adam Thielen, wide receiver 30. He's looked really good so far. He is in the top 10 in fantasy points per game so far at the wide receiver position. And if Andy Dalton plays again, I really, really, really like that pick. At least to get 10 points. If not, we might be pushing 20 there. And then Noah Fant's going to change everything. He is going to score more than 3 fantasy points per game.
Choice
at tight end 31.
What a horrific choice. I just the meme where the dude walks up the guy, like to the monk, and the guy with the monk just takes 20 kicks to the dick. That's Lucas trying to decide on which tight end to use every week because it never works out. And you're just perpetually getting kicked in the dick.
Well, I went way outside of the realm of my normal thought for this because I'm like, can't go worse. I cannot be worse than I've been so far.
Okay, I'm going to go as the leader, 136.86 total points. I'm taking Jared Goff at quarterback 17. I've used him before. It's going to pay off this week. And at running back, I'm going to take the actual good Chicago Bears running back. They have a rushing grade according to the new offensive line and defensive line matchups tool that you can get at data.fantasypoints.com. They have the sixth best rushing grade at 1.96. And look, the Broncos are bad. Adjusted rushing yards before contact per attempt, which is adjusted to remove scrambles, trick plays, and quarterback kneels and sneaks. The Broncos are giving up 1.88 adjusted rushing yards before contact. Khalil Herbert, who is hashtag great at football, is going to eat against them because he is the better running back. Khalil Herbert, RB32. Now, I'm going to take a rule from last year. It hasn't come up yet, but because I push all the buttons on the show, I can do this. Last year, when we picked a player who was questionable, we picked a backup player. So I have done that. Jalen Waddle is wide receiver 31 this week, and I'm going to take advantage of that. So I am taking Jalen Waddle as my wide receiver. But, and the backup, if for some reason he doesn't...
We decided on this midway through last year. If you're going to do the spammy thing where you take the players ranked really low because they're injured, if they sit, you stick with the zero.
I think you're going to have to pull that clip for me because until then, I'm going to say...
I experienced that last year. No. If you get to pick Jalen Waddle at wide receiver 31... then you can have Jalen Waddle at wide receiver 31. But I guarantee you, by the time we know he's playing, he will not be ranked at wide receiver 31. So if you want the advantage, slash disadvantage,
roll the dice.
Waddle at 31, you're rolling the dice.
Okay.
You can take the backup or you can take Waddle.
I'm getting bullied here, and I don't know how I feel about that. I get to
move. Or you can choose a backup from the same team. I'll allow that. If you want Waddle slash River Craycraft or Waddle slash Robbie Chosen, that's allowable.
No, we're going to go Waddle 31. He's playing. I just thought his rank was hilarious. I thought I was going
to... So just to be clear, you're taking Waddle, and you would rather have no one as your backup than Robbie Chosen.
Correct. Yeah, okay. I refuse. He says, nice try. Ferris, I'm telling you, I don't remember this conversation from last year. I think Jacob's doing his lawyer shtick that he does to convince people to confess to something that they... that isn't true. I mean, tight end. Look, he's just been the GOAT. Mike Williams, unfortunately, we've lost him for the year. So shout out one of our favorite wide receiver picks. I'm taking Gerald Everett at 18. I think his role will increase because Quentin Johnson has not looked good. Laws of justice prevailed. All right. Easy. So I'm taking Everett, and I will again reclaim my lead when Jalen Waddle goes for 8 catches, 205 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You guys will get hashtag smoked. Jacob, you're now ready.
I'm ready. What's
the lineup that's going to put you ahead?
Absolutely. The first quarterback is a pretty cringy pick, but Baltimore's secondary is beat up right now. Honestly, Baltimore's everything is beat up right now. I don't know if you guys saw the Lamar tweet when he was like, the Jesus thing. That was so funny. Can you guys fire your whole training staff? Like, this shit is ridiculous.
Dude, I don't want to talk about
the Ravens just playing backups every year. It's absurd. But anyway, point being, the post Nick Chubb era off to a pretty good start for Deshaun Watson, who played really well against Tennessee. I think they're going to more of the short passing game to try and alleviate his deficiency holding onto the ball and to try and, you know, kind of replicate some of what they really intended to be their run game now without Nick Chubb. So I'll take him in this spot. I'm just going to chase the points here and take Devin Achane in this spot. I think he's going to continue to split work with Raheem Mostert, but I think both running backs are startable in a game where Miami now might actually be pushed, right? They're going to have to play Buffalo this week, who just completely pummeled Washington and Vegas the last 2 weeks. I hope that this game is as fun as it's billed to be. Like, wouldn't it be a blast if we all got to watch like a 45-42 shootout between Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa? But in that case, everybody gets there. I'm taking Jerry Jeudy, who gets to play the absolutely hapless Chicago Bears this week. He's slowly working back from his preseason injury. I think he becomes a full-time player this week. And look, it's a sad state of affairs that we're playing a streaming game and that this person is available in 2023. I wish it weren't this way. But since it is this way, I guess we're doing it. Kyle Pitts, I will take as my streaming tight end this week, is ranked at tight end 11. Not only has it gotten so bad for Kyle Pitts that you can just take him as in this game where you're not allowed to take the top 10 ranked tight ends, but the one person was like, no, I don't want to take Kyle Pitts. Give me Noah Fant instead of Kyle Pitts. Noah Fant, also referred to as future Kyle Pitts by some. So give me Kyle Pitts here to round it out. That's Pitts, Jeudy, Achane, and Watson.
That's crazy that Pitts is that low, but it's probably going to net you 2 whole points. It's
probably going to net you 2 fucking points.
Hey, can we get a little horrible? I'm going to do a bonus. Can we talk about the Ravens-Colts game? Because last time we got to talk about a Ravens-Colts game, I was on cloud 9 as we completed the biggest comeback in like NFL history, pretty much. Jordan Love a top 12 dynasty quarterback at this point? I think he kind of has.
No.
You don't think so?
Okay. How about first you trade for Jordan Love in the Full Tilt Dynasty League, in which I have his services, and then
which one is that discussion?
It's the Psycho Draft.
No, my team's 0-3. Don't need that. Thank you very much, though.
Well, you don't need a top 12 dynasty quarterback?
Not when I'm looking for Caleb. I'm not trying to get better. Come on, we talked about this. We just talked about this.
Everybody's got room for a top 12 dynasty quarterback. No, he's nowhere close to my top 12. I'm not remotely convinced that he's good.
Nowhere close seems harsh.
Name 12 quarterbacks you'd rather have. Oh, can I? let me just do the old.
I always love Jacob's side tangents here.
Okay. No, I see the comments. It said name 12 quarterbacks you'd rather have.
I will name them. I didn't
Mahomes,
see that.
Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Herbert, Jackson, Lawrence. That's how many? Seven. That's the easy ones. I'm still taking Fields. I'm still taking Dak. I'm taking Richardson. I'm taking Watson. I'm taking Tua. I'm taking Bryce. I'm taking Stroud. I'm taking Kyler. That's 15. I'm taking Cousins. That's 16. And now we're into the Love range. I think I would rather have Daniel Jones because he runs. That's 17. I'll take Purdy, who I have more faith in. That's 18. And then Love would be fighting for 19 with Goff and Geno and Pickett and Mac.
I cannot wait for next week's episode. I have a feeling the quarterbacks are going to come up a lot. God, when you say it like that, it sounds so violent and disgusting.
I have him at 16. I have him at 16, so I was following you for most of that. The one that surprised me the most was Kirk. That's the one that definitely surprised me.
So many fantasy points.
I know. It's just we all have this, like, I won't say we all, but there's definitely a consensus in fantasy football that Kirk Cousins is very meh. And Jordan Love has looked good.
Jordan Love has looked like shit, in my opinion. I don't understand the Jordan Love thing. They've won a bunch of games. In two of them, he's had under 6 yards per attempt. They've fluked out some games against some horrible teams. They have a really soft schedule. He's probably done enough that he's going to start next year. It's like he's outside of the top 25 quarterbacks in PFF grade. His stats are unimpressive. His play to me watching him is entirely unimpressive. This is bizarre to me. I don't understand this Jordan Love sensation whatsoever. He doesn't run. He doesn't have upside. I don't think he's any good. Like, to me, you're looking at a two-year starter who the fantasy community is overreacted to because of QB wins. I think he is a priority sell and like truly one of the most misvalued and misevaluated players of the first 3 weeks. But Kirk Cousins, if we would bet on who is starting games further into the future between Kirk Cousins and Jordan Love, give me Kirk Cousins.
That's bold, in my opinion. Wow, I think Father Time's going to come for Cousins. 100%.
Sure. I think the second
he's removed from his current situation, Cousins is fucked.
Sure, but he's starting next year somewhere. And then in 2025, I still think he's starting somewhere. And then I don't think Jordan Love's starting anywhere.
Oof. I think you're out of pocket on that. I think there's lots.
What's Jordan Love done to impress people? Is a shitty prospect who sat for a bunch of years and he's played okay for 3 games.
You're an absolute savage.
I'm a Jordan Love hater. I would like to be fully on record as a Jordan Love hater.
Here we go. We're getting some clap back for you. Love is top 15 EPA per play.
Yeah, and he's the widest gap of every touchdown interception ratio. Like,
what are we doing with touchdown interception ratio?
And then touchdown percentage and interception percentage are basically just the component parts of the stat that doesn't matter. EPA per play is good, but he is the number one quarterback in terms of the delta between his qualitative grading and his EPA per play, which is like usually the regression list when we're looking at this early of a season. So to me, that says like how he's been graded consistently, his success rate and his PFF rating, what he's providing play to play versus EPA. There's a really wide gap between that, which to me is the hallmark of a quarterback who's probably looking at regression. When you then add that to our expectations on what Jordan Love was coming into the year, I think that's even more true. And I'm just not, the prior was that he sucks. If you didn't have that prior, I guess good for you. You don't have to have that prior. But I don't think for anybody who came in doubting Jordan Love that he has actually done anything through 3 weeks that you should be shaken off that. Like so many times we get to situations where people are like, you have to do this. You have to do this. I don't think you have to do anything. I certainly don't think you have to with Jordan Love.
I love the bonus content in this program. Bonus content is sick. It's very good. This is without his best and second best weapons.
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's some fair arguments. That Jordan Love is going to surprise. I think after you've said it, 12 is probably a stretch. I think it can get to 16, 15. Dak, though, we have to have next week. Okay, starting tonight.
Jordan Love versus Dak.
That's not what I was. Can I finish, sir? Can I finish? I think we have to have a real conversation that Dak just might be slightly above average because fuck is he bad. He's bad, dude. He's bad.
This is just so silly.
Why is it silly?
This Dak stuff. Because every year all he does is just crush all the predictive metrics and his team wins a bunch of games and then people don't like him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the Dallas thing. I don't know if it's
14.6 points against the Arizona Cardinals is probably the thing that most people are looking at when you're talking about rushing, not providing you upside. The rushing is gone.
He scores fantasy points every year. When has he not been a top 12 quarterback in fantasy?
Last season.
Was he not a top 12 quarterback in
points? I thought he missed a couple of games last season.
I'm pretty sure he was top 12 points per game last season.
Didn't he miss like four games?
He's right outside of it.
I'm pretty sure he's right outside of that. I don't think he's.
Thank you, Michael. Jordan Love, double-digit completion percentage under expectation, dead last in completion percentage under expectation.
I love this. I love the haterade on this program. It's back and forth. I love it. Full tilt's back. Well, it took a couple weeks for the full tilt viewers to start trickling back, but I am happy that you guys are here and in the comment section. It's so good. I love this. There is room for improvement. Room for improvement. I think there's room for improvement. It can happen, but I think Dak is... Oof, no thanks. Final thoughts? Look, we got an hour and 20 again. It feels like we can go for 3 hours tonight on this program because these topics are hot. I am prepared. Next week, we're coming in fucking prepared. You're not a patriot, Thomas. Leave it to a Canadian to defend America's team. There's two Canadians on this program, Ferris. Have to be a little more specific with that. Dylan, what up, boys? Made an intriguing trade in my one QB redraft league. Okay, you're touching on two things right there that none of us really get into. Traded Watson, Kelsey for Lawrence, and Keenan got Laporta, so felt okay. Yeah, I assume that's good for a one QB league. I can't tell you. I don't play in any. I'm in one because Billy hates fun, so shout out Billy. But yeah, this is outside of my range. And look, there's also routes and drops. Maybe look next week. Look,
I get Jordan Love in prime time this week. So
I'm not going to be able to say your name.
Experience him.
I'm not going to be able to say your name correctly, but I'm going to try. Shadrack Abaki. There we go. I think I crushed it. I crushed it. Crushed it. Tune in next week because we're going to have a big quarterback conversation. Next week, the show is going to be how to tear down. This early in the season, I fucking love these shows. We usually do one of these every in the first 4 or 5 weeks every year for Full Tilt. It's going to be an absolute banger, and you're not going to want to miss it. However, we cannot be here for 3 hours as much as we would love to. If you want a 3-hour pod with Jacob, there's Sweat and Bullets, which he'll tell you about as we get our final thoughts in here. That's a 3-hour Dynasty show. But final thoughts before we get out of here, I'll start with Lucas.
So final thoughts, and then we also get another fun trade in here. But for the redraft trade that was there, I don't really like it that much because Kelsey's still an elite option and the elite option at the tight end position. And I know we all like Laporta, but I am not expecting 18 fantasy points per game from Laporta. And you can almost do that with Travis Kelsey. So also Lawrence is kind of better than Deshaun Watson. So I don't really like the trade, unfortunately. I'm sorry, but not a huge fan of that, even though Keenan Allen looks really good.
Content, Lucas.
What was that?
That's enough free draft content.
I know. But yeah, it's going to be a really fun show next week. Really fun slate of games last week and going into this week. Really love getting to watch the Broncos and Bears play each other. Maybe I will be able to smile during an NFL game again, because it made me feel really sad whenever they didn't just kick the field goal at the end of the game to set the record. I didn't like that pity. It felt even worse than the 70 points. So yeah, I'm feeling very good about myself. That's about it.
Unreal. Jacob, final thoughts. You're getting called out here for skipping sweating bullets.
That's true. It's not my fault. Drew went on vacation to Boston last week. I was ready to record. We will be recording this week. We'll be ready to record, I think, probably tomorrow night. Usually comes out Thursday morning or Friday morning. And yeah, we'll talk about Jordan Love for sure. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Drew is on my side of the Jordan Love fence, and that we'll do what I usually do, which is like I always just kind of have to play devil's advocate to Drew when he gets dug in about things. So I'm probably going to be painting the pro Jordan Love case. Like,
I can't wait to clip
my will tomorrow night, I think. But this would be the last thing that I would leave people with is like, 3 weeks is a very small snapshot in time. The types of narratives that people grab onto could very easily be disrupted by one play call going differently, one route being won differently, one penalty being called differently, one toe getting into bounds or out of bounds. I think that a lot of times people will tell you, you know, like I said, you have to admit this. You have to admit this. You got to take this L. You got to take this W. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be reactive. I think we should often be reactive to certain things, but I don't think that we have to just allow ourselves to be swayed back and forth by inertia. I think that you are allowed to still carve out room for your priors on a given player. Your priors do not have to be my priors on a given player, but whatever your priors were. And then you get to interpret what we have however you like, you know, whether that's through certain parts of the data, through the film, through the vibe, through whatever it is. But don't let yourself feel as though you sort of just have to be pushed around by the market sentiment that gets attached to certain players, because you look back at what the case has been through 3 weeks, you know, and then you look at how things go over the rest of the season, you're constantly seeing massive changes. You look at how things are through 3 weeks this season versus the summer, you're seeing massive, massive changes. So that's all I would say is don't feel afraid to run into the running into green. And Shadrach, I think I've been on a lot of players I could name off for this year for sure. Like James Cook would be a great example of a player that I was not very interested in over the summer, that I'm very interested in now. I fundamentally don't think that there is a reason to shift views substantially on Jordan Love. Like part of what happens sometimes, I think, on player takes is like, you know, try to think of everything, or at least I do, in terms of a range of outcomes for this player or a given team. And I think sometimes when I get the most tilted on a player, like I am like legitimately tilted on Jordan Love, as you can tell, just because I think the narrative around him is really poor. Like a lot of times I see certain elements of like a range of outcomes happening. Sometimes I even bet on those. So full disclosure, like Green Bay Packers are my, along with the Falcons, are my highest conviction betting team this year. I have them to win the NFC North at plus 550. I have Matt LaFleur, coach of the year, 35-1. I have them to have, like, I think I had the best record in the NFC at like some absurd number. Like I've been pretty all in on the Packers because of the high variance spot, because they have, I think, a good foundation around Love, and they have a really easy schedule. And then you kind of see that pay off and everyone's like, well, now we have to think this way. And I was like, I kind of still think the same. It's kind of going as I thought it would go, honestly. And you're just seeing a lot of touchdown variance, frankly, where all their touchdowns are coming through the air and not over the ground. So, what would change my opinion on Jordan Love? I guess it's like a lot. Like I think that we should have had really low priors on Jordan Love, and it should take a ton to change them. And if you don't think that, fine. I think his prospect profile sucked. I think the fact that he didn't play for 3 years is a legitimate red flag. And I think that it would need to be multiple seasons of him showing that he is a legitimate quarterback, or one season of him showing that he's a transcendent quarterback for me to be interested. And so if you're like, well, what does he have to do on Thursday for you to admit you're wrong? Honestly, nothing. It's going to take more than whatever he does on Thursday night. And I think that it's fine to have priors that suggest that you move off of. So maybe he keeps playing how he's playing. I wouldn't say well, because I don't think he's playing that well, but he's playing however he's playing, and we keep coming here, and I'm like, not yet, not yet, not yet. And maybe that eventually looks really foolish, but it is going to take a while on Love for sure. And it's going to take him playing a far more sustainable way than he currently is, which is it's mostly just him winning and all their touchdowns are through the pass instead of the run.
I can't wait for next week. I think that's going to be my final thought.
It's going to be a really fun primetime game.
I can't wait for next week. It's going to be great. I love this program. I love being able to do it. I love disagreeing because it works out great. We've made trades live on air because of some of these disagreements. I'm sure we're going to get one next week between Jacob and I. I can't wait for it. Look, folks, if you're watching right now and you want to help us out and you haven't hit the subscribe button, you can do that. That helps us out. Leave a comment on what you want to talk about next week. Is there a player? Is there a position group? Leave a comment below and let us know what you want us to get into next week. That way we can better prepare for next week, because next week's show going to be a fucking banger. Top tier. He's throwing 404 with Watson on Thursday. Watson hasn't even been cleared to play yet, and it's Tuesday. So Watson looks like he's still out, but we'll find out.
No, he's playing.
And
he's playing Thursday.
He is playing?
Well, he said he's playing, so I trust him.
Okay, well, he hasn't been cleared yet. Maybe they're just doing the old, we're not going to tell our opponent who's healthy trick, which has got to be one of the most fucking annoying ever for a DFS player. I can't wait for next week. I think next week's going to be an absolute banger. I've said it five times now. I can't wait. I'm setting this up for the hype. The link is going to be out early. Be ready. Hit the bell. Stay notified. Tune into Jacob's Thinking About Thinking at all times. We have the Dynasty Ranking Show. That will be released on Thursday. You're going to get a lot of Jacob and Full Tilt content here on like Thursday and Friday. We're getting three pods. It's going to be wild. Look out for that. That's right. Smash that. Absolute smash that. Let's go. Herm says many are saying next week will be an absolute banger. Michael says, have a great week, guys. Hey, we appreciate you guys. And he says that the Bears and Broncos game will change the world. Yeah, it might start World War III. We don't know. That's it. That's the program. What a great fucking show. Thank you for hanging out with us on Tuesday nights. Remember that there are people on the other side of your screens when you are talking your trash. Remember that they are people, and you got to dial it in sometimes because there are some real animals out there. Remember that you need to check in on your loved ones, even if you don't know they need it. And remember that clear eyes and full hearts can never lose in your best days. Just like tonight, they're always spent tilting. Good night, everybody. Great time.